WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. I think I've got the Baltimore Positive bow tie on here with the 25th anniversary celebratory cupcake. We're celebrating crab cakes. We're Coco's Pub. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Maryland Lottery Raven scratch-offs to give away. This is sort of a lucky space here in Lauraville at Coco's Pub. We had a $100 winner here about 2 months ago. We did the show here. And this has been a great thing in my life, doing this crab cake tour to bring friends out and laugh a little bit. I always thought we'd be good at baseball again at some point. Our friends at Window Nation are here and putting it on, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube. I got three great sponsors. Much appreciation for making these kinds of things happen. I hit Max to come out about a month and a half ago, and you were like up against the anniversary. It was my anniversary, and it was your big party, right?
Best of Baltimore party, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we were busy.
So we were like crazy, and you didn't make it to Dundalk, and I figured you'll come out at some point. I hit you this week. You're here.
I wasn't like a no-show. I told you I wasn't coming. I wasn't just like I just didn't. You made it sound like I just didn't show up.
I was going to meet Max then.
Max, you know, if you didn't love me, I know you don't. You're never going to admit that you love me, but you do. If you didn't, you wouldn't. You're not just here for the free crab cake. Maybe you are.
Well,
I mean, maybe you are here for the free crab cake.
Can I take the fifth on that one?
Well, if I really love you, I'd make you bring the cello. By the way, have you seen Dan Roderick's one-man show yet?
No, I want to see it.
December the 8th, you're going to be my guest that night, because I'm putting people who need to see it.
Yeah.
People who need to be there, and a lot of friends of mine. We're going to do that.
Dan and I are friends.
That is the best of Baltimore.
And,
it's the best thing I've ever seen in Baltimore.
He is the man. So, sounds fun.
All right. So, the editorship of Best of Baltimore collides with my lifer friend, one of my oldest friends in the world, Mike Rossigliano, who lives in the neighborhood. Yeah. You're my co-host with a K at Coco's. Okay? Like the coconut shrimp that's going to be coming
here.
Yes. So, give me your journey with Max, because, like, when I told him, because you were a late addition. Rossig was first up because it's in the neighborhood. I hit him last week. He's like, I'm coming. Ultra, she hit me yesterday and said, no kids, no hobbies, no travel. I'll be there. She came late. Rossig was first in, and then you said, I'll come. I text Rossig. I'm like, hey, Max Weiss is coming. He's like, oh, I love her.
Yeah.
So he wanted to sit in with you.
I just love Max, all her movie stuff, you know, from BAL with Alan Prell and with Dan.
He said Alan Prell, and I wanted to tell the Alan Prell story. Should I tell it?
The late, great Alan Prell, by
the way. The late, great Alan Prell, of course.
It was his birthday either yesterday or today. Uncle Allie, I miss him.
I think he was kidding with me, right? At that party? Come on.
Wait, what did he say? You told me this, but I forget. What did he say?
I'm going to tell it again.
I don't know it.
She blushed the last time, and she doesn't blush much.
I don't know it, so
no,
please.
So this is
Max, I'm saying right now, as a disclaimer, Uncle Ali is a sweetheart. So whatever you said, he was either joking or you deserved it.
And maybe both. I think it was both.
Maybe,
okay?
All right.
So this is where, when Max comes on the show, I won Best of Baltimore for years. I see all the Best of Baltimore here at Coco's. All of mine, I was in that one there. I see it from 97, 98. So I have all of my things, and it all stopped when I did Free the Birds. Because nobody could touch me, nobody could come near me, right? Yeah. So it's been 17 years.
Since you won a Best of Baltimore.
That's inaccurate, but okay, go ahead.
Now, we won 3 years ago, didn't we? We won Best Podcast
I'm
or something?
I'm just saying that if you stopped winning Best Ofs, it had nothing to do with it.
That's never exaggerated.
I became a little combustible during that period of time. So all I'm saying is I try to not win, so I hit her and I say, if I ever win, I can't complain to you that I haven't won. I just complained that I haven't won, and I think we won a couple of years ago,
You and Don won Best Podcast.
But that's not the same as just me, you know?
It was not just you. Don
lobbied.
He's your better half.
Yeah,
basically.
I know. Don lobbied for things. But what I would say to you is, all these years ago, I ran into Uncle Allie, and I had one interaction with him.
Okay.
And I had won Best of Baltimore in the magazine. You were at City Paper at the time, so it had nothing to do with you.
Okay. Right.
I don't think it had to do with Title Bomb or anybody else. So I won, and I was at the party, and I was feeling good about myself. I was at Bohager's.
And
there's Alan Prell, and I think he won for something else because
he
won a million things, right?
Sure.
And I was excited to meet him. I really was. Like, I knew who he was, and I'm a radio guy trying to be him. He had been on the radio 40 years at that time. I'm only a 32 now, and this was 25 years ago this happened, 1998. So I went up to him. I said, hey, are you Alan Prell? I said, yeah, hey, I'm Nestor Aparicio. He's like, well, I've heard a lot about you. I hear you're a real Fill in the blank.
Ah.
Began with an A and ended with a hole.
Okay.
And I went,
yes.
I backed up and I'm like, well, maybe they were right. You know, I don't know, you know. So but we didn't have a drink. We didn't talk. We didn't, like, and I wish we had, because, like, I had a sense of humor about it. I still do.
Yeah, that sounds like his sense of humor, actually.
Sure.
That's part of his, he was very blunt. He would say inappropriate things. And that was, like, his vibe.
That's,
you know,
a great story.
100% sounds like he was teasing you.
For people that missed him, you know, like, he was... Yeah, he was so irreverent, and he was so... That Christmas thing he would do every year, that just busted me
up. Well, I mean, part of being on the radio is being entertaining. He was a highly entertaining, intelligent, worldly man, right? He didn't... You know, like part of that, like, I thought anyway. That's what I heard on BAL.
To me, Uncle Ali always seemed like a borscht belt comedian, if you know what I mean, you know? He had, like, an old school...
Catskills act?
A Catskills style sense of humor.
Love that.
I just thought it was...
Which is not in style anymore, but, you know, for a while, that was just the funniest. You know, I would
this
say...
is during the era of Andrew Dice Clay, so he could say whatever he wanted to me. I'm unoffendable.
Right. Yeah, no, I think this... let me say this. I think this interaction meant more to you than it did to him.
It means the world to me.
Like, he never said to me, oh, let me tell you about that one time I met Nestor. Like, you know.
How was your Best of Baltimore party?
It was excellent.
My wife loved it. My wife went and had a great
time. Did you not go this year?
I was in Ocean City for Mako. And also, had I been here, you got to talk to Tidal. It's the night of the Barry Manilow concert.
Okay.
Ah, I mean, I love your party and all, but I mean...
That's Baltimore. Lots of things going
on. He wrote
on.
The songs that made the whole world sing.
How is he, by the way, Barry? He's like an old man. Was he spry?
I didn't go.
Oh,
I was
okay.
In Mako.
Okay.
I was drinking with politicians.
Because you never refer to a young person as spry. It's always an older person. You never say, yeah, that 30-year-old.
I got home in time to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire two nights
ago. Was he spry?
Earth, Wind & Fire is unbelievably great. Lionel was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I prefer Lionel the musician, not Lionel the entertainer.
Okay.
I want Lionel to me, and this is a little blasphemous because, I mean, I freaking love Lionel Richie. He kind of makes fun of the songs.
Oh,
ow, ow, once, ow, twice, ow, three times, you know. And I'm like, that's someone's wedding song.
Mm.
Like he almost like is tired of Endless Love. Endless Love he does is this sort of goof.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I used to skate backwards and make out with girls to that at Skateland. That meant something to me in 1981, you know?
Well, not
to Lionel Richie.
That's a party trick.
No. I got to keep you on mic, Rasig.
Okay,
no, but your concerts are my thing.
Yeah.
What's your thing at this point? Because, like, you do so many things.
Right.
Movies.
Film is my thing.
You wrote this Oriole thing this week about bandwagon
sports
people.
Is my thing.
Yes.
And cello playing is my thing. You know, I got those things.
Where did you get the...
The bandwagon thing?
Yeah, you don't like the... You're not a bear poker. I mean, really, you're not. Maybe a little bit as a music critic you are.
If you read the essay, the conclusion that I come to is the more the merrier. However, if you stuck with the team through thick and thin, through the many, many losing seasons, this season is all the sweeter. Right, so that's how I ultimately landed. Like, yes, come one, come all, we welcome you all, but...
Well, there's plenty of room. I went to the ballpark last week.
Plenty of room.
Right.
I mean, but it is, there is something special about being an Oriole fan who was with them through, as a friend of mine said, thin and thinner, because there really was not much thick. But so here's what's interesting about this essay. So I wrote this essay. I kind of thought most people were going to agree with me on it, or at least on the premise of it. And people my age, so like Gen Xers and then boomers, they were all like, totally, totally agree. Like, oh, we just have to tolerate the bandwagon fans, the fair weather fans. Millennials, younger, all hated the essay. They were all like, don't gatekeep. That's what they were saying. They were like,
that's part of being 25, though.
That's what I was thinking. Like, somebody was like, this is
just the fact that you would have a strong opinion, you're not allowed to have that. And you're not allowed to have the wisdom that you have.
Well, still, I mean, gatekeeping was such an interesting, like, I didn't see it, I didn't see it as some sort of elitist thing that I was doing. I just saw it as, like, it's, ain't this the way it goes? You know, you follow the team, you're loyal, you're, like, in it with them, and then all of a sudden out of the woodwork comes these new fans. And yes, we welcome them. But there's a little, it's, you know what it's like? It's exactly like when a band that you used to love becomes huge. And you want to boast that you knew them when they were...
Like when I saw Smashing Pumpkins and Max's on Broadway, that sort of thing.
Right.
See, but this is our generation. You and I, you're a little younger than me, but we're roughly the same generation. This notion of kind of integrity or authenticity related to the stuff we consume, this notion of selling out. Young people don't talk about selling out anymore. Our generation talked about selling out. You know, like if a band that we loved got really, really huge, we would say, oh, they sold, or if they, you know,
REM.
Did like a, right, or they did like arenas, or they did Budweiser ads, whatever. Young people just don't think in those terms, you know.
If I would have gone to work for BAL, they would have said I sold out. They really would have.
Right. So, but if you ask somebody, you know, 35 or younger, what their thoughts about selling out are, they would just basically say, get yours, you know.
Get your bag.
Get your bag, you know. So anyway, it was interesting to see the reaction. You could read my essay at BaltimoreMagazine.com. And, you know, where I reflect on what it's been like to be an Oriole fan these last several, you know.
When you say Oriole fan, like, you write from this different place of being a fan. What people, like, my last name's Aparicio. I went to the games when I was 4.
Yeah.
I went my whole life. I built an entire life and a radio station around my love, not of the Ravens, of the Orioles.
That's right.
You know, my love of the Orioles is why I did all of this. My personal thing aside, and Peter and Free the Birds, and them not paying a $30,000 bill, which made me salty 17, 18 years ago, I have things in my closet that are older than any of these people.
Yeah.
That are reading this, right? So when I go out here and I see the beer drinking crowd, and I did all that last Thursday and Friday, last Friday, because the game wasn't on TV. I was at the convention center. They have a thing called The Nest. They didn't name it after me, but I'm claiming that. It's a radio shtick thing. And I was down there at 6:45, and I didn't have tickets for the Adam Jones night. And I had a beer or two, and I said to my wife, I'm going to come home, bring you some food, stop somewhere, meet cheese, bring... She's like, you do know if you come home, the game's not on. Apple TV, right? So
right.
I got a ticket, and I went around that night. Thursday night I went when there were 25,000 people. Friday night I went when there were 50,000 people, right? And Thursday night, I knew everyone, and everyone knew me. I walked around the club, and I couldn't make a move without seeing old friends, new friends. Friday night when I was there, I walked the whole stadium. I didn't see 20 people I knew all night. It was a whole
different crowd.
Complete.
Yeah.
They don't know no Nasty Nester. They're not from around here. I think a lot of these people drive from long distances for one game. Long distances meaning like Hagerstown or Frederick,
right,
or places where they're not really from Lauraville or from Baltimore. And they love the team too. But I spent Thursday night, I want to tell this because I haven't told the story in the air. I was looking for a ticket Thursday night. I went out, a friend of mine from Dundalk, who I've known my whole life. We grew up together. She had tickets, and she had season tickets. She had some health issues and some other off-the-field issues. She had these tickets, and I went and sat with her for a while. She's had season tickets since 1984. That's the person that you're talking about, right?
That is
like she's
right
gone
now.
13 games a year since 1984.
Wow.
And I don't want to out her. I'm not going to say her, but she's having some financial, you know, she was telling me about some of her hardship, right?
We
were having free soda and popcorn in the little lounge down on the right field side on the club level.
Nice.
And she's a beautiful person. And she said to me, I can't afford the playoff tickets. And I'm like, ugh. Like, my heart sank. You know, she said, man, I could barely afford the 13-game package. She said, it's the only thing I do, the only thing in my life that I do.
Yeah.
The only thing in my life that I do that's an extravagance at 60 years of age,
right,
is owning these $700 in Orioles tickets a year,
right,
for these 13-game packages for two tickets, right? And I mean, it makes me choke up a little bit because this is at the heart of why I want them to win. And when people come to me, I was at a networking event this morning. Ah, the Ravens screwed you and the Orioles, you must be hating. All I'm like, all I see are these happy freaking people that I've loved my whole life.
Right.
I'm in it for you at this point. Like, I want them to win. I want to see what you look like. What cello song you play, Oriole Magic on your cello, you know? But this is really about seeing people you know and love who love it so much. Steve Jeppy. I want Steve Jeppy to take a champagne shower at at the pitcher's mound.
Right.
Is what I want for Steve Jeppy.
Of course.
I want to see him that happy.
Right.
Right.
Because I love him that much.
And that's exactly what I mean. I mean, everybody in Baltimore will be happy if the Orioles, let's just say, make the World Series.
No, don't. Come on. Don't sell it short.
Okay, win the World Series.
Oh!
Nestor made me do it.
Well, they're the one seed.
No, they're great. You know,
I want to be really disappointed if they don't win the World Series.
Yeah.
I will not, but I mean...
Why?
I mean,
really?
Well, I won't be... I mean, I...
Well, you think they're going next year? I mean, stop with all that.
Of course.
No.
They are built.
Come on.
They are built for the long run, Ness. You know that.
They're built to have an owner that won't pay these people, and that's a problem.
Okay, but
that's a problem. But that's not today. I don't want to talk about that today. La la la. Uno, happy, happy, happy. Don Moeller's here. Let's sell some Baltimore magazine. No, I'll just do happy talk because like there is a point where ask Cal Ripken about next year.
I think they can win the World Series? I do, but I do think that their most formidable competition is going to be the National League teams in the World Series.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So whoever it is, Atlanta, Dodgers, whoever it is.
I don't want to play this second
one
place thing. I think it's important
that Max was suggesting that, too.
One thing about the Orioles this year is they've just been so consistently good. You know,
that is true.
Even great teams go through slumps, protracted losing streaks. I mean, to us, we've had 2 4-game losing streaks.
If you
streaks,
beat
I
this
believe.
Team 4 out of 7 games, you've done something.
Right.
Absolutely. If you beat this team 3 out of 5 games.
There's a resiliency to this team, and that is what I feel like as a fan, especially for all of us who are sort of, we're kind of neurotic at this point, you know, because there's been so much losing.
True.
You keep waiting for the other shoe to drop.
We can't be this good.
Right. Every single time. You know, that sort of bad Max voice in my head was like, this is it. We're going to be exposed.
That's funny.
They just
I don't have that voice.
I'm
Baltimore positive. I really am.
You are fine. But I'm finally done with that voice. Like, I finally realized this team is legit. Like, I truly
was it the Mullins home run Tuesday that did it for you?
No.
Which miracle?
There were. I mean,
there's
and
been
that's
a lot of
the
miracles.
Thing. This has been the most I mean, I have watched a lot of baseball in my life. This has to be the most entertaining team I have ever watched in my life. I would say it was after the All-Star break that I started to really, really believe, because I was like, sure, you can do it before the All-Star break, but after the All-Star break, that's when the big boys step up. And you know what? We stepped up.
We had Dave Shine in here at Coco's about 2.5 months ago. It was hot. Yeah. It was July, I think. We were here. It was All-Star week. It was All-Star week. It was All-Star week. It was. And Dave sat here, and I said, Dave, you really think they're going to win, you know? And he's like, well, you know, the math works against them. That's pretty good, Dave. I'm doing. The math works against them. He was like, you know, there's 32 teams in the NFL. Like, the thought that we're going to have a parade in the next 3 years for the football or the baseball team in July felt like now one seed bye, right? I mean, things going right, trending in the way where – we're going to have game ones and game twos. I mean, we're going to have a lot of advantages here.
Honestly, Ness, at that sitting, I went home thinking, because I said, no, I think the Orioles have a good shot to win it in the next 3 years. And that's what I said. But I wanted to say, and I should have said, and why not this year? Because they, at the time, they had the best record.
We didn't like their pitching. We still don't like their pitching.
Right, we still don't like their pitching. What does it matter, you know?
Yeah, the Batista thing is, you know, that's huge.
If they can win the World Series without him.
I mean, that would be
unbelievable.
So you think there's no chance he's coming back?
And being that effective?
Yeah,
no.
I know.
No,
man.
I mean, if they bring him in the seventh inning of a game next week before the playoffs, every pitch he throws, I'm going to think, is this the one? Is this the one? Is it, you know, I remember the Dave Dravecki, you know, like awful stuff that happened, you know.
Right.
Max Weiss is here. She is the editor and chief It is editor-in-chief,
right? Editor-in-chief. I answer to editor as well.
No. I love anybody that's a chief.
I know. It's
being
cool.
A chief's cool.
It is cool.
Versig is the chief of all things sports cartooning and artists. We're Cocos. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Win the Nation and Jiffy Lube. The bandwagon piece that you have, I don't want to kill you about it, but where is... What am I? Am I a bandwagon fan? Because I don't give them money. I don't go to the games. I watch them every night.
No.
I wasn't watching them in 2020 in the middle of a...
That.
No, but at what point, what is a bandwagon fan somebody that literally doesn't own an Oriole hat, or somebody that hasn't pulled it out of their closet in 6 years or 10 years or whatever?
Yeah.
Because the people I'm seeing at the stadium, they don't look like people that discovered baseball in July and just learned the rules.
Right.
They look like people that have been disinterested same reason all the rest of us were disinterested, because the owner's been a jerk. Awful things have happened, like Mike Flanagan, and I'll go down the list of all of these, and the team has stunk. So they're...
Yeah.
They need to win people over.
Right.
This isn't the ball out
absolutely.
And we're the Orioles and you owe us. I saw that last Thursday night when I went down there for the biggest game they've ever played in that stadium. And there were 20,000 seats. And it was $6 to get in and nobody wanted to come. And they'll say, well, the city's bad. No, the city wasn't bad on Friday night. You know, city's not bad when Billy Joel comes. The city's not going to be bad on a playoff night. It's going to be full.
Right?
So I don't like those excuses about crapping on the city. I want to see them... really take the bull by the horns here and do right by fans.
No,
do
and
right
a, lot by of, fans. A lot of people said to me, like, the team didn't deserve our fandom. You know, like, they didn't invest in the team. Why should we, right? That's what a lot of people said. So, to me, you stick with your team. You know, like, if you're from Baltimore and you love Baltimore, you love and you love baseball, you're going to love the Orioles.
I didn't become a Phillies fan or a Yankees fan, right?
So you're not a bandwagon fan because you followed the team closely all of these years and still were invested and still cared. And, you know, like, one thing I wrote in that piece was, like, how you start thinking about the playoffs as something that happens to other teams.
Right.
Like, what you think about is, like, how well can we do... Can we win half our games? Like, the kind of metrics for measuring what makes a good
season...
Remember
when we knocked the Red Sox out of the playoffs?
Right.
That was the greatest thing ever.
That was the greatest sports day prior.
You know why that was
season.
Great? Because they stunk for 14 years.
That's exactly right.
And what was the... It was two things that happened that
night, curse
right?
of the Andino was
right,
that
yes.
night, right?
Curse of the Andino, yeah.
Yeah.
That is... You nailed it on the head. When you're a losing team... You find other ways to feel like you won, right?
Bobblehead night.
Bobblehead night.
Right.
No, but seriously, knocking the Red Sox out of the playoffs, it was as sweet and as satisfying.
As the Delman Young double? No, it wasn't.
But as we could hope for then. Yeah.
But that's what, you know, to me, if you're going to make the distinction between bandwagon fans and, you know, true fans, if you will, it's moments like that that sort of make the true fan, that you were like stoked about these small victories along the way. But again, to the person who says to me, why the heck should I be rooting for this terrible team, because they were terrible for a long time, it's hard to argue. You know, like, baseball is part of the fabric of my life. You know, if like I'm home and the game is on, I got the game
what
on.
What made you love baseball? You didn't grow up here, right?
No,
did you watch baseball before you came?
I did. I was a Yankee fan.
I'm like
a recovering Yankee fan. Yeah. I mean, I know.
I'm a New Yorker, too, and
I'm
never rooted for the Yankees.
I'm ashamed.
Ever.
Oh, God.
He was worse. He was in the Mets.
I mean, my dad
not
hated
worse,
the Yankees.
But equally
he
as
was
bad.
A Brooklyn Dodgers fan. You know,
I come by my love of baseball in a weird way. My dad was not super into baseball. Like most girls who are really into sports, it's because of their dad.
Right.
Or a big brother. But my dad really wasn't. Neither was my mom. Neither was my sister.
You're a classically trained musician.
I'm a classically trained musician.
And a writer and an artist.
All those things. I used to like reading fiction about baseball. You know, like when you're...
Casey at the Bat?
No, like there was a lot of sort of like young adult or young person's fiction that was about baseball. And, of course, there was the Bad News Bears, which was this amazing, the Walter Matthau one.
My only fiction about baseball was Strat-O-Matic baseball. That was my fiction.
All right, well, yeah.
Playing so the dice game, you know?
What was Walter Matthau's character? What was that? What was his
Buttermaker.
Name? Buttermaker.
Oh, Buttermaker,
right. Yeah, Buttermaker, right.
So good. And the remake, not nearly as good.
The Astrodome wasn't as good
the
either.
The original Fantastic. Anyway,
go to Japan?
I came by it honestly. I just came by it. It's hard to say. Maybe.
But the Oriole thing came way later, right? You came here in the 80s.
When I moved to Baltimore in 1989, and it was for a few years, the way that I did it was, I'm going to root for the Orioles unless they're playing the Yankees. Like, that was my first few years.
Where were you in 96? When Jeffrey Mayer reached over,
oh,
are
right,
you pissed
Max,
or happy?
Where were you there?
Don't
then,
lie to me.
No,
what
no.
Was
by then, I was fully an Oriole fan.
You felt that in your heart?
In my heart.
You felt that
to this
hurt.
Day, it still enrages me. No, because what happened was, it was probably about 3 years of living in Baltimore, and I realized, I can't root for the Yankees over the Orioles. You know, like, I'm from Baltimore. This is my team. Like, this is the team I follow. And from that moment on, I was like every other good Oriole fan, and I hated the Yankees.
Right, I've changed my mind. Nice. I want to win Best of Baltimore now, okay? Because of you. Max Weiss is here. She's the editor-in-chief of all things. Baltimore, hold the magazine up. Come on, to play the
I
role
I keep forgetting
here.
Where we have a camera here, too.
That's all right. And Rasig is here.
I have nothing to hold up. My bow here, right here.
Well, Rasig draws things. So I'm going to take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk some more baseball, football. It is Colts week here. By the time people listen to this, they won't. You know, I collect rock and roll belt buckles. That's my thing, right? So, you know, I have a whole I have 120 rock and roll belt buckles from the 70s. But I also have a few non-sports or non-music-related belt. I have a Mickey Mouse, a Superman from Pacifica. This is not a Pacifica belt. This is an official NFL license. My parents got this. It's Sears Roebuck.
See it?
1977
wow,
Christmas
Baltimore
right
Colts.
There.
That's legit.
That's legit. That's the real real deal.
That's legit.
And, you know, this whole, like, Colts thing, I did Indianapolis radio today. They asked me about his dummies, both the dummies that right. are Nacho Mamas,
right.
the Ursay dummies. You missed all of that Colts angst here, right? You got here, like, too late for
you got,
that,
you got
right?
here too late
right.
for the Ursay
But I know
dummy.
All about it, yeah. of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
no, you're right.
I
didn't feel it.
It.
I didn't feel it in my bones. But, yes, that had happened, and I knew that was a defining moment.
This week's been weird for this, though. Now, this has been a weird week for me in this way because of the Colts thing and doing nothing but Orioles. I mean, like, nobody wants to talk about the football team right now.
Love
like,
that.
In a weird way, right?
I mean, I love the Ravens, too, but right now it's got to be all about the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, it really is,
yeah.
right? I was at a networking event today. Nobody talked about Lamar or injuries or the or the Baltimore Colts. Or the Colts.
Right.
Or the Horseshoe. Or Bob Ursay.
Right.
Or Jim Ursay. Or any Ursay.
And there's only two undefeated AFC teams, and it's, you know, Miami and the Ravens.
So it's been 39 years now on the Colts thing, and we finally have reached a point where when the Colts come to town, it's just Indianapolis coming in.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, I mean, like, and that's a good place. I'm a writer like you, and I'm going to ask you in the next segment, because I do want to break. About, like, your writing process.
Okay.
What possesses you in the middle of the night to say, I'm going to write about those damn Oriole bandwagon fans is what
yeah.
I'm going to... Like, because I was in Indianapolis walking the streets during their Super Bowl, and four in the morning, I was walking the city. It was beautiful. It was all lit up. And my heart changed in the middle of the night. Like, I started to write at 5 in the morning at a coffee shop in downtown Indianapolis, and it was in 2011 or 12, whenever the Super Bowl was there.
Right.
And that was when Cundiff missed the kick. It's when Leah... This is a week after that happened. Okay, this is literally... This is a week after that happened. We were supposed to be in that Super Bowl,
that
right?
That was a gut punch.
It was unbelievable. We got over with the parade a year later, 10 years later. We can talk about it without crying. But I wrote this long essay about how I needed to give up the hatred. And then my wife got cancer 3 years later. A lot of things changed my life. But, like, I decided that I wasn't going to be that guy when I see the horse show. You know, I had to let that go because it was punishing me at that point. It's like the Angelos thing, or even like what the Ravens, like sitting around angry all day about that stuff. Like, but the Colts thing, my wife would tell you when I got married 20 years ago, I'd land at the airport and I would be like, I'd see the horseshoe and see people wearing Colt stuff, and you stole that from my father, you know. And I don't feel that way.
Prepare to die.
Yeah, right. And I don't feel that way anymore. So that's the Orioles have lifted that this week.
Do you think Browns fans still feel that way about us?
Every minute of every day.
I know.
And wear something purple in Cleveland.
And we had it so much worse than they did, right?
They stole our horseshoe.
Right, they stole our horseshoe. The Browns
we were
going to
steal their we were
going to
steal
colors,
their logo
the
too
dog
to be
pound,
real.
And I assume that the Browns in the Hall of Fame, are they under Browns? Or
yeah,
they
just had a hiatus.
I mean, come on. There's no comparison.
See, she talked about the Hall of Fame. I told the story twice this week about Steve Bisciotti grabbing me at the owners' meetings in 2006 and insisting that I take a walk with Jim Irsay and discuss the records of the Colts and why our fans had to go, and still to this day, I'm looking at the thing, it says Massillon, Ohio on it. Go to Canton, Ohio, right next to Massillon.
Right.
And you, in order to see John Unitas, you have to go to the Indianapolis wing.
We did it, and probably I did it when I was there. I changed the, I put Baltimore over Indy when no one was looking, and I'm sure I'm not the only fan that's done that, you know. But I did it when
you
I was
put
there.
A sign over it.
Yeah. I Love made that. It, I drew it up, put Baltimore on it, and stuck it on there, and I know thousands of other fans.
If anybody wants to laugh at me about my sports passion, there is a video on YouTube of me in the actual wing of the Hall of Fame, in the where the busts are, in the hallowed room, doing a speech on behalf of Art Modell with his face over my face.
Oh, my God.
Inducting him into the Hall of Fame. I inducted Art into the Hall of Fame myself.
Well,
it's right there on the internet.
That bothered me, too, Nestor. That was unfair. That was really
See, this
unfair.
Is all this bother and all this
yeah,
angst.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
The Orioles are going to win the World Series, and there's going to be like the Pearl Jam song. It's going to be like the release.
So you're not afraid of jinxing it at all. You're just not even slightly afraid of jinxing it.
What do I have to do with Fuji's strike zone?
Which is a problem. Which is, if you have anything to do with it, that's bad.
All right.
Because it's a problem.
Max is here. She is the editor-in-chief of Baltimore Magazine. That is Rasig. I've loved him my whole life. He is our co-host with a K at Coco's. Alternate Taste coming by. And we're going to talk some more sports. I do want to talk some Best of Baltimore because we're at Coco's. The shrimp are getting cold. We're going to split. Look,
I just want to taste one.
Have you ever had fried shrimp with jalapeno raspberry sauce?
I've not.
This is the problem. These shrimp are so unbelievable, but nobody gets them because they get the crab cake here.
The crab cake
here. So what I'm trying to do is tell people that
it's more elite than Joe Flacco.
But this raspberry jalapeno stuff and some french fries. We're at Coco's. Come on by in Lauraville. See them. Visit. Make sure you're ordering ahead. Take it home because they don't have as much room in here as they'd love to have. And you can certainly ship the crab cakes anywhere in the world. I'll be telling you more about it. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. This is yours, Max. Hopefully you win the $100 today. Our friends at Window Nation, I have the wacky hat. I'll wear the wacky hat in the next segment because I'm feeling a little wacky. 866-90-NATION for Window Nation. And our friends at Jiffy Lube, our newest sponsor. I'll be talking about oil changes where I got my oil changed in at Merritt Boulevard. The Baltimore Colts belt buckle is out. 1977, it says on the back of there. NFL properties. There
Sweet.
It is.
Nice.
Gives me warm fuzzies when I see the old Colts and
it's
Orioles
logo. It's a good-looking logo.
Well, it's like Rasig's cartoon hat here.
I love the cartoon bird. I know a lot of people.
Oh,
I don't need that ornithologically correct. Is that one of your things?
I did a cartoon about when it went. We went to cartoon. Of course I would. I'm a cartoonist, so of course I did a cartoon about that.
But. All right. That's a championship bird. Back for more of Coco's
Absolutely.
Right after this. Stay with us.